Welcome, members and guests, to the January 24th program of the City Club of Eugene. Welcome to our TV audience on community television and the Oregon Wind Network. I'm Laura Potter, City Club President-elect. Our sponsors today are the Oregon Country Fair, Dot Dotson's, Essex General Construction, high-quality construction at cost and conscientious prices, and special thanks to KLCC for airing the programs on Monday night, KPFF Consulting Engineers for our office space, and the Eugene Weekly for their continued coverage and publicity support. We thank you for listening. These programs are free to our listening audience, yet there are costs involved. Your contribution is completely tax deductible and will help keep our organization healthy. Today's presenters are Robin Scott, Lane Workforce Partnership, Kim Thompson, Oregon Employment Department, Bob Halligan, Willamette Valley Company, Laurel Henry, and Eric Colander, South Lane School District. They will discuss a project in which they participated, hoping to build bridges between business and education. Welcome to our new members, Stephen Davis, John Rao, and our new virtual member, Regina Claypool-Free, and our newest sponsor, Oakley Meadow Co-Housing, represented by Maureen McCauley and Mark Williams. In the fall of 2013, City Club embarked on a new adventure with Lane Workforce Partnership. At the Thriving Community Summit in April 2012 and at the Regional Prosperity Summit in November 2013, we heard about the exciting opportunities in the local economy and the disconnect between what industries need and how educators prepare young people for the workforce, among other education goals. Although real prosperity emerges from many major factors, these meetings suggested that linking teachers and employers could make one small contribution. The pilot project was structured as an academic course. 9 of the 11 sessions were visits to different companies. The visits included a presentation on the company's work, its place in the local, national, and international economy, and its corporate culture, a tour of the premises, and a meal. Robin Scott and Kim Thompson will open the program with an overview of employment, Bob Halligan will explain what employers learned, and Eric Colander and Laurel Henry will tell how their work in career and technical education benefited from the experience.
I'm Robin Scott with Lane Hi, I'm Robin Scott with Lane Workforce Partnership. Thank you for having me today. I'm a business coordinator, so I have a lot of interest in bridging connection between education and industry. I want to extend my thanks to Mary Layton and the Eugene City Club for sharing what we decided to call the Future Workforce Program with us. The result was a wonderful collaboration between Lane Workforce Partnership, the Oregon Employment Department, the Eugene City Club, that brought industry and education together in a creative and fruitful project. This past fall, 9 local businesses representing our diverse local economy opened their doors to a group of teachers, school counselors, and workforce professionals. On Tuesday evenings, we spent 3 hours with a different company. The time included a tour of the facility, a presentation about the workforce needs of the company, information about their industry, and a shared meal. We'll hear a bit later about the business experience and what the educators learned. Before that, though, Kim Thompson from the Oregon Employment Department and I want to share why programs like this that bring industry and education together are so critical. First, our economy in Lane County has been through dramatic changes in the past couple of decades. Our business mix has diversified, and many industries, like manufacturing, for example, have transformed into more high-tech industries requiring a completely different skill set than just even a decade ago. Our schools are preparing young people to enter this changing workforce, so there's a critical need to educate the educators about 21st century workforce expectations. The first session of the Future Workforce Program gave educators an overview of the local economy and the primary industries that drive it. Kim Thompson, workforce analyst with the Oregon Employment Department, will walk you through our local industry mix.
Okay, I think we might need the lights turned down. Does anyone know how to turn down the lights so you can see these slides better? Okay, and there are copies of this PowerPoint on the website and also outside the doors on the table where you write your own name tags. So if you didn't get one when you came in, there's some color copies there. We're going to walk through these slides today. My name is Kim Thompson. I'm from the Oregon Employment Department. I do workforce analysis, And I was invited to be a part of this project, primarily to help the teachers understand what the state of the workforce looks like today, where the opportunities are, and what kinds of things are we looking at. So my favorite slide that we talked about is this one. I don't know if you can see it. It looks like a pie. It is the industry makeup of Lane County. It's where our industries are in relation to the other industries. So as you can see, the largest piece is government. We have a lot of government here. We have a major university. We have a very successful community college. We have local government at, like schools, the city, the county, the state. So you can see we have a large government mix. And I do want to emphasize that education, higher education, all falls under government. That is a misnomer that it will fall under education. I know we're government employees, we put things in funny categories, but the education and healthcare is private education and the healthcare establishment. So you can see that's a nice healthy chunk of our pie here in Lane County. But the biggest thing I like to point out is, like Robin said, we're diversified. We do not have maybe like we were in the 80s where we were completely dependent on wood products and logging. We have diversified and we've made ourselves a more general piece of the pie. So the thing that I like to point out about manufacturing is that 9% on this chart is in manufacturing, but that's not really the way that it is, because if you are a spin-off of manufacturing, you might fall under trade and transportation, but you still are affected by manufacturing, what happens in manufacturing, as well as government. There is some wood products in government. There is also some in information technology. You need to have IT folks at any manufacturing facility. I can see I'm doing better with the microphone here, so let me move it over. Professional and business services, that has a lot of spillover, accountants, tax auditors. There's lots of things that if we lost manufacturing, we would be losing in other areas too. So I like to point that out to people so that they understand when we're talking about manufacturing, we're not just talking about 9%. We're talking about more than half of our pie in Lane County depends on some of the large industries we have, as well as government. If we're not doing well with government, we're not doing well in Lane County because it's a large chunk of our pie. And there are times when I've heard, I know as a government employee, I wish we had less government, and you don't always want that when it's part of your pie. So I'll let Robin move on to the next one, and we'll save some questions till the end.
Great, and so we'll move on to our next slide, because the next thing we presented to the educators was information on industries and their projected job openings. What are the trends?
Let's click onto this slide here. This is a very colorful slide, the second slide in the handout that has to do with our industries. Okay, closer to the microphone again. Sorry, I need to look at my slides. This is very difficult to look forward and have my slides behind me. Oh, thank you, Robin. Should have my own handout here. Okay, so we're looking at Region 5, which is Lane County, projected job openings by industry, and then we break out projected job openings by growth openings and replacement openings. So this is something that I think it's very interesting, and it's also educational for people who are educators to know, because we don't just look at whether we are going to have a lot of openings from growth, but we also need to know, are we having a lot of turnover in this industry? So will there be openings that need to be filled based on retirements? Because that's important. And we need to know what percentage of each industry has growth and has replacement, because there is an important need to replace workers as they age out of the system. So what we looked at with the educators is, where do we have growth? Well, for us, you can see the top one is circled, education and health services, and that's private education and health services, had the most potential for growth. That's the green line that you're seeing. It's the largest green line. It's more than the dotted red line. So that tells us that's an industry that we need to look at for growth. Do we have the future impacted positions? Are we looking at that? Are we training for that? Are we educating for what that is going to look like in the future? And we all know healthcare changes very rapidly, and they have new positions that come, and we need to be ready for that. So that's where we look at. And then we also look at places like manufacturing. It's a big chunk of our pie. There may not be a lot of growth, but there is some replacement needs. And we talked about this with the teachers, and Robin will talk a little more about aging workforce and what that looks like and where is that. And there's also some aging workforce in healthcare that we know. Nurses, the average age, I think, is over 50. And that is also in health manufacturing. So we looked at those two areas in our State of the Workforce report, which is where all of this comes from, and it's available on the Lane Workforce Partnership website. It's a very large document that has everything we studied. We took probably 40 slides out of that and educated the teachers on that report. These are our probably top three slides out of it that we've brought here. So we definitely have a lot more on this topic if you're interested. But I just like to point out when I talk to groups that there are two kinds of openings, and you should really look at both when you're making decisions about which industries you need to focus on in the future.
Okay. Great. So that points us to the second impetus for the Future Workforce Program. As Kim indicated, we have an aging workforce, particularly in some industries like manufacturing, the trades, utilities, healthcare. As many as 50% of workers in those industries are of retirement age or within 10 years of retiring. So as the economy rebounds from the Great Recession, more and more experienced workers will be leaving the workforce. And employers ask me all the time, where is the pipeline of younger workers to replace these people? So last, we have the lowest level of youth participation in the labor force since World War II. And we have a slide showing in Oregon the unemployment rates among young people.
Okay, so this slide is very alarming. You can see the dotted line along the bottom is all ages from 1978 to 2011, their unemployment rate. And you can see that it spikes a little, but it's mostly, you know, some nice gentle curves, and then it kind of spikes up during the recession. And I think it hits an all-time high of a little over 10%. But then you see the line right above it is the 20 to 24-year-olds, and they have some significant spikes going. And then you can see that it's much higher. It spikes out at the top at 2008 and over 15%, probably around 17%. But then you see the 16 to 19-year-olds on the top, and their line is significantly higher than everyone else's. If you broke that age group out, their average unemployment during the recession was over 30%. And we never, as a total group in Lane County, we never went above a little over 10%. So three times the unemployment rate, mostly due to things like having less experience than everyone else in the workforce and being bumped out of those starter positions that they used to be able to employ. And I'm sure you've seen things like this happen at the Starbucks you used to go to. Probably had a much different demographic working there in 2006 than they did in 2008. So things like that are alarming and something that we've been looking at. And then I'll let Robin talk a little bit more about that.
Great. So many youth are not aware of opportunities offered by the diverse business mix in Lane County, and also of employer expectations around skills and work readiness. And by work readiness, what I mean are qualities like punctuality, dependability, the ability to work as an effective team member. The more industry can communicate these expectations to educators, the more the message will be communicated to students. So we hope to repeat the Future Workforce Program in coming years. Employer feedback was 100% positive. We surveyed everyone at the end. Half of the businesses involved have scheduled follow-up activities with the schools, such as tours, classroom presentations, mock interviews. And a third of the companies are considering adding special opportunities for youth, such as internships and job shadows, as a result of the program. City Club has submitted a proposal to the Oregon Community Foundation to further develop the program, which we would all like to continue. And Lane Educational Service District will join us next year to develop activities that correlate with their new career and technical education grants they received. So now we'll hear more about the Future Workforce Program experience from one of the companies we visited, the Willamette Valley Company.
Thank you very much. My name is Bob Halligan. I'm Director of Manufacturing for the Willamette Valley Company here in Eugene. Thank you very much for having me. A little bit first about who Willamette Valley Company is, because that's how we started our night with the educators. We are a locally, privately held manufacturing company, located, headquartered in Eugene, been in business for about 60 years. We have in total about 300 employees. 50%, rough, are located here in Eugene, Springfield area. Our primary markets served are wood products, transportation, and construction and concrete construction industries. Primary products, we make water-based paints, specialty urethanes, application equipment, robotic systems, all kinds of things to both blend the products, mix them, and then apply them. So that's just very briefly who we are and what we do. Why did we want to participate in this? Well, in the business community, we talk a lot, even during the Great Recession, when we had job openings, we were all manufacturing companies were struggling to fill them. We couldn't find qualified, work-ready employees, and it was, you know, we couldn't really understand how that could be with these high unemployment rates, and yet that was a fact. And all of my colleagues were saying the same things. I have an opening, I get very limited applicants, and the ones I get aren't ready to go to work. And so we viewed this as an opportunity to really try to connect with the education community, our public partners, in a way to try to improve the understanding of what kind of businesses are out in the community, what are the needs of the businesses, what kind of jobs do we have. For example, at Willamette Valley Company, we have everything from semi-skilled and skilled production workers to engineers to PhD chemists to salespeople, accounting, QC technicians, et cetera, et cetera. So we have a very, very broad spectrum of jobs, education levels, and requirements for this. And so this was a great opportunity for us to connect with a new group of educators to kind of help tell our story and help people understand what it is we're looking for. As Robin said, it was very successful. I had two colleagues that helped present that night. And we all three said the same thing afterwards, which is what a great event it was, how much we learned about the educators and the education system, and hopefully how much they learned, because we were supposed to end, I think, at 7:30, and we went about 7. And so we went 30 to 45 minutes long, and we kind of had to cut it off because people needed to go home. But so it was a very rich experience. It was a really positive experience. Would love to do it again. And specifically, what I think we gained as an organization is if we can help impact young people in any way to help them gain jobs, that's a win for the young people, that's a win for the community. All the research shows that if young people are not employed at a very early age, they fall behind in the job market, they fall behind in lifetime wages, and they never catch up. And that high unemployment rate for the youth and the young people in our community and the state as a whole is a big problem that we all want and need to address. So we felt this was one small way where we could maybe have a positive impact on that. If we could help educators tell their high school students that, yes, at Willamette Valley Company, even as a production worker, you use math skills every day. Every day we use multiplication, division, we do conversions, you have to be able to locate information, read work instructions, instruction manuals, et cetera, et cetera. So all those skills that sometimes our young people roll their eyes at in the high school are exactly what we need them to be able to apply in the workplace. And so hopefully we gave some leverage to the educators to convince those young people that, yep, you're really going to use those skills in the workplace. And I guess in closing, the other thing that we really gained from it was an increased understanding of what the educators face. You know, they told some very powerful stories about different students, different groups of students, how they struggle to get these students to realize that, yes, you need to graduate from high school, you need to get a GED at the very minimum, and that it's important to your future. And so, again, you know, I think we got a better view of the struggles and challenges that the educators face as well. So I would encourage and have encouraged colleagues in any business to, if they have the opportunity to do this program, to absolutely join this program. I thought it was a great experience. Thank you.
So my name is Laurel Henry, and I'm a transition specialist at South Lane School District. It's a broad term, really. I wear a lot of hats. So basically, I'm a career counselor, and the population that I work with are foster kids, homeless kids, parenting teens, kids with disabilities. These are the kids that have already been dealt a pretty bad hand in life, and so the program that I work under is actually funded through LWP, the Workforce Investment Act, have 52 slots, and we try to target, well, I kind of tease the kids. I tell them, we're going to turn you into taxpayers, because a lot of these kids, you know, they haven't been modeled work, they don't have working parents, and so we try to focus them in training where they can get help with apprenticeships and health occupations, green technology, secondary wood products, construction, and basically we want to help them discover their passions. And we teach an employment skills class where we try to cover all the soft skills. And, you know, what we've heard from the employers is that if they can have the basic foundation down, we can teach them the rest. We teach kids about financial literacy, numeracy, you know, how to be successful in the workforce. And I know in other countries like Germany and China and Japan, they've already worked to connect their young people. And so we really need this marriage and this pipeline of industry and young people. We don't want this population to slip through the cracks. And so with an aging population and these young, energetic people, we need to focus our energy together and get connected so that we can have successful employees with our kids.
I am Eric Cullender. Thank you for inviting us. I am a sort of, kind of, but not really retired teacher. Currently teaching at South Lane School District. When I taught a full load, I was biological sciences, but I also teach part of a two-year pathway course for students who are interested in exploring healthcare as a possible career. So most of the teachers in this group were transition specialists dealing with kids whose relationship with the educational system has not been as fruitful as we would like. But I deal with a much different population, and specifically what a number of us are trying to do in Lane County is to turn the impending crisis of not enough healthcare workers into a golden opportunity to connect with all the schools in a regional basis, as well as with our industry healthcare providers who are getting really nervous about how are they going to fill all these jobs that you saw in that slide that Kim showed. The top bar was healthcare, and it's a huge bar. In the face of that, the pathway programs, the way kids take their aspirations that form, if you can remember all the way back in elementary school, what did you want to do in middle school, so forth and so on, and then translate that into helping them find the pathway to, in this case, go into healthcare, they're broken. So waves of budget cuts have shattered most of the programs in Lane County and in most of the parts of the United States, excuse me, and we're working to try to rebuild them and rapidly. So I've always thought that there is a lack of connection between educators who work their fannies off and believe in their mission and really what our ultimate goal is. And what is the ultimate goal? When you ask a student, oh, I want to get a good job, that's great. Well, what kind of job? And if you connect with them and help them connect with school, you can uncover their passions. And if we as a community work together to support our youth and open our doors, not just the schools alone can't do it, we'll get kids who say, oh, okay, school, I get school now. School gets me to where I want to go. So if you connect kids with their education, if you connect kids with their pathways, you've got a really vibrant school community. And I've seen success in Laurel's program. I've seen success in lots of programs. I've seen success in the program that I'm part of. But when I came to this group, I found out, boy, what I don't know, and there are lots of jobs in Lane County. Our youth employment rate is terrible, but there's lots of jobs, but we're, as educators, not even aware where those jobs are, and the people who have jobs are not aware how to connect with the educators to say, hey, we have jobs, some of whom can be filled by high school students, and a lot of them can be filled by high school graduates, and they're entry level, yes, but we will help them proceed, and if they show initiative and have what we call the core skills, showing up to work on time, working as teamwork, good communication skills, the math and the writing skills that they need, we will advance them and we will help pay for their education. Oh my gosh. So there's this tremendous gold mine in our community for training our future workers that exists, And what it really, the lesson that we took home was, oh my gosh, we really need to work on increasing the communication in our community and learning to work together as partners, not as separate silos, and having job shadows and having internships so the kids can get connected and connect their passions to what is in our community so we can train our workers. It was a fantastic course. And I hope that they are successful in their grant, because I would like to see many, many, many educators have the same experience that we did, to see really beyond you're here to pass high school graduation tests, which is not very exciting, and transform that message into there's really a lot of cool things out there and cool things that you'd like to do, and here's how we can help you to get to them. I think our community would be well served. Thanks.
Now it's time for us to break so members can form questions for our presenters. So we'll take 5 minutes.
You're listening to KLCC Eugene 89.7, KLCO Newport 90.5, KLFR Reedsport 89.1, at 88.1, KLBR Bend, KLFO Florence, KMPQ Roseburg, and on the web, klcc.org.
Welcome back to the City Club program, Building Bridges Between Business and Education. Our guests are Robin Scott, Kim Thompson, Bob Halligan, Eric Colander, and Laurel Henry. And now we'll take your questions.
Thank you for coming today. It's been very interesting. My name's Paul Thompson. I'm a City Club member on and off for about a decade. Our table was interested in exploring in more depth a topic that was touched on by one of the speakers, and that was the German system, where there's a bifurcation between the educational paths toward trades or toward college-level kinds of things. I'll toss it out to anybody who would be willing to pick up the answer, but we'd be interested to have you tell whether you feel as though that would be beneficial to filling the job market and making happy youth, of course, and also whether there's sociological or political obstacles to doing a thing like that that would stand in the way of doing it in the United States.
They're all looking at us.
Okay.
That's an excellent and very difficult question, and I'll do my best. If you're familiar with Governor Kitzhaber's and Oregon Department of Education's plan, the 20-40-40 plan, that sort of speaks to what you're referring to. And what we'd like to do is to have 40% of our high school graduates move on to a path that would include a four-year degree, 40% that would include a path that goes on to postgraduate training with certificates, two-year community college degrees, so forth and so on, and then the 20% would be high school graduates, so that 100% of our students graduate from high school, and we're not there yet. So when you take a look at the 40%, which is, I suspect, the background that most of you come from, schools spend a lot of time speaking to that, but if you do the math, 60% of our kids are going to be the ones that we desperately need to build our houses, to work in manufacturing, to work on robotics, to become our next generation of great chefs, to repair your automobiles, to be your HVAC people. They're wonderful careers. They're careers that you can support a family on in many cases, and it's not a static career either. Entry-level jobs, as every one of our employers stated, can lead to the next level depending on the initiative and interest of any particular entry-level employee. So there's a huge golden opportunity for what we refer to as reinventing CTE, career technical education, which speaks the general term for those kind of positions. I have to be the first to admit that I come from an academic background, as most teachers do, and with a master's degree, and I worked in medicine for many years, and so I naturally gravitate towards sending that message to my kids. And one of the things that this course really taught me was, although I've tried to before, I need to spend a lot more time listening to every one of my students and discovering their aspirations and respecting their aspirations And I don't think we do as good a job of that as we might. There's a lot of students that aren't connected to school because if they want to become an HVAC repairman, that's not a particularly valued skill set in most of our schools. No, you should go to college is the message we keep sending to them. So what we'd like to do is kind of turn around that paradigm. We need a lot of those workers. And when you saw the slides up there, a lot of those workers are not four-year degree backgrounds. We need our community, our region, our state, our country needs a lot of those. Germany's been doing this for a long, 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 long time. And in Germany, there's lots more respect for what we might call the trades. And I think one of the things that we might think about doing as a community is to really, the key is to get the kids connected to school. And the key to get kids connected to school is to listen to their aspirations. And then our job is not just having them pass all these tests, but our job is to help them find that pathway to go where they want to go. And we work hard, but I think sometimes we get lost. We can't see the forest for the trees.
Can I just add one thing to what he said? This is Kim Thompson from the Employment Department. Touched on how many workers we have in the trades here. And actually, in wood products manufacturing alone, we have the largest level of employment in Lane County at about, last time I checked, 3,200 people. So we do really have, the data supports the fact that we do have a lot of people going into trade occupations where we'll need a pipeline.
And just to add to that, I'm Laurel Henry from South Lane School District. For my population, a lot of my kids are not going to college. They're kinesthetic, they're hands-on workers, and my focus with a lot of my kids is getting them into the pre-apprenticeship programs. Last year I had 9 kids, which doesn't seem like a lot, but they learned a lot about carpentry and being electricians and plumbers. Those are all family wage jobs. Job Corps, a lot of my homeless kids, Job Corps is a perfect answer for them because it covers housing and education and training and driver's licenses and that sort of thing. Sometimes it's a 2-year training program. They help them find jobs. And what I tell my kids, I said, really, one of the secrets of happiness in life is finding out what your passion is. When you find that out, let's figure out who's going to train you to do this. How can you find someone to pay you to do something you really love? And many, many, many of my kids end up in the trades, and they come back, and they're proud of themselves. They're building homes or plumbers or mechanics or, I've had a couple girls in healthcare. So we've had a lot of success in our program just supporting their dreams. And fortunately, with Lane Workforce Partnership, we have money to help fund these programs for the kids and put them in work experiences and get them mentors and apprenticeship opportunities and job shadows. So I think it's really valuable, and our economy is slipping because the rest of the world has noticed this, and they're meeting their young people in China and Ireland and Japan, and they're saying, well, come on. So we need to open this pipeline and give us a ring. Give us a ring. We need this connection. Thank you.
I'm Jerry Smith, City Club member. I'm 77 years old, so my job opportunity started some at 10, pretty regularly at 12. Agriculture for one thing. And as I get older and stronger and taking on bigger and tougher jobs, stacking lumber, all that sort of thing. And as I got even a little older, the military. And all those things trained me to get a job done. Where I might have had some trouble in school, I found out when I went back later to get a master's degree that I knew how to get a job done, and the 20-year-olds in my classes didn't. Mm-hmm. Even though they were better educated than I in the field, they were way behind doing what needed to be done. I find myself volunteering with the homeless here on a pretty big basis, and I find that there's a lot of people who would work. They have criminal convictions, and there's really no place for them to apply. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't make any sense to me. Why we punish and abandon people like that is beyond my understanding. And I think if you needed workers, you might find a way to set up some sort of a rehab program that would bring these people back. And that's true. I think the largest number of homeless people are people with disabilities, and many of them can and do work when they have the opportunity.
My name is Paul Howard. I'd like to address this to Bob, but any of you can pick up the ball. But I'm wondering what ideas you have about how industry might further support workforce development, aside and in addition to the education system.
That's a great question. Again, this is Bob Halligan with Willamette Valley Company. Business needs to get involved. Business needs to partner with all types of organizations. In addition to my day job, I am board president for Lane Workforce Partnership. I'm board president for Emerald Valley High Performance Enterprise Consortium, which is a consortium of groups pursuing lean enterprise and lean manufacturing. These types of volunteer efforts have connected me not only with a group of peers that I wouldn't have gotten to know, but as well with public partners in education and workforce development, Kim with the state, all kinds of avenues, and help expand my view of the world and my ability to impact the world, hopefully in a little better way. So the way I think business can get involved in workforce development, workforce efforts, is to really get involved in the community on a variety of levels, and many, many business people do. That those volunteer efforts, I think, are what's going to really help business stay connected to the community, help us fill that pipeline. I believe the last workforce report for manufacturing said there's going to be about 4,400 new jobs between now and 2020. About 40% rough will be brand new jobs, 60% replacement jobs. We need a pipeline to fill that need. That pipeline is not full for us right now, and so what we need to do is to communicate what are our needs. If we have needs for welders, and yet the applicants that have experience aren't meeting our needs, what is that lack? How can Lane Community College help us? How can the high school programs help us? How can we help set up programs of internship training, et cetera? There's just a variety of ways that business can get involved, and I think it kind of has to be a holistic, broad approach.
And I would posit that education needs to start thinking along the same lines in a unified fashion. What I hear from lots of business people is, who do I contact? So we have 16, 17 individual school districts in just Lane County. Who do we talk to? So I think it would really be helpful if our districts would partner together and have contact people so that the businesses who wanted to help out could have a target to aim at. If not, they get frustrated and they leave, as I would too.
I just wanted to add, this is Robin with Lane Workforce Partnership, to make sure that any businesses out there that do want to connect with workforce issues or education, to contact the Lane Workforce Partnership, and we can be that bridge to help connect you. And you can contact us at 541-682-3800.
I'm Dave Popple. I've worked since I was 12 or so, and never was out of work, as one of the other fellows at our table said. I think what's really changed, and I think what needs to be addressed, what you're saying is wonderful, okay, philosophically. The problem is this. When I was young, you could work, any kid could work if you wanted to work. You could work for pay, whether it's babysitting, whether it's work on the golf course, restaurants, whatever. I had three kids. They all work from the time they're young. They want something, they work for it. I have five grandkids in high school. Not a one of them has been able to find a job where they could work, either for experience or for just an internship or whatever. So you can talk all you want until there's an opportunity for kids at the high school level or earlier to get a job and learn how to work, we're not going to get anywhere. So what can you do to provide work experience? Not philosophical, hands-on work experience at the high school level. If you start with the kids that want it, there may be some of the kids that are drifters would say, hey, there's an opportunity to have some money to learn some skills. What can you do?
This is Laurel from South Lane School District again, Laurel Henry. My program actually does address that, Bob. The program that I have, we actually have funding to pay wages and workers' comp to place kids in work experiences so that they can gather these skills and maybe find a career path that they want to do. I think we need more funding for workforce training programs. I think that's the bottom line because, you know, you see people who are 40, 50 years old working at McDonald's. You know, there aren't that many spots for the kids right now. There's a lot of hoops to jump through. So I think funding training programs is vital.
This is Kim Thompson, workforce analyst for the Oregon Employment Department. I also think we need to do some core skill training because if they're competing with people who have been in the work world, they are at a disadvantage from learning to look people in the eye when they talk to them, how to write a professional resume. There's pieces we need to be doing, and that's what we're talking about today and what some of us are working on. I know we offer classes at our site called Polished First Impressions because what we hear, and Bob can tell me what he thinks, is that they're not as polished when they walk in the door and they're applying for a job against people who've been working. So there's some things we also need to be doing to get them to be the best candidate, and that's, I think, what training and what Laurel is saying and what we offer at the employment department and what employers are telling me is that's the reason they're not the most qualified applicants. So there is maybe a shift in culture that's happened that we need to come back around to. And there's a expectation gap maybe as well between employers and job seekers these days that we also need to be working on. But I hear also, the demand is there now, which hasn't been before. So once the demand for employees picks up and there's more openings to be had, then we have more opportunities for internships and getting the youth back in. And that's what I'm excited to hear is that the employers are now saying, I need more people, what can you do? So when they're ready, we can have this pipeline of bringing these kids in. I don't know that they were ready during the recession, but I'm hearing it more now from employers like Bob who are saying, okay, we need more workforce. Where are we going to get them? This is the perfect opportunity for us to then bring the youth that are having trouble back into the equation.
This is Bob again, and yes, I would concur, Kim, with what you said. We are seeing jobs being added at a variety of companies now, which is a great sign. The first high school kids, the social condition is that high school kids are competing with possibly 28-year-old, 25-year-old, 30-year-old people for the same jobs. Mm-hmm. And so I can't solve that problem. I'd love to. Mm-hmm. But my job as director of manufacturing is to hire the most qualified candidate that has the most potential and can do the job. And so it's absolutely imperative that the high school kids have that good first impression, that they can demonstrate those core work skills. One of the things that WorkSource Lane and Lane Workforce Partnership has sponsored is the National Career Readiness Certificate, mm-hmm. which is a series of exams that shows that you can have basic math skills, you can locate information, and you have the reading skills to be able to be an effective employee. And so this would be a great thing, and we're trying to work with the schools, and they're receptive, but to get that accepted in is kind of one of the things that high school students can do to show that they're ready to work and that they have those core skills. And so it's a big problem. And at Willamette Valley, we have done some internships with some high schools. We partnered with some high schools on occasion. We tend more towards the universities just because those tend to be engineering, chemistry type jobs. But I think we're doing all we can, but we also need the high school kids to be ready to work.
Hi, I'm Jody Summers, and I'm a City Club member. And I believe my question was really touched on a good bit in your just comments right now, but at our table, we were curious for high school students graduating wanting to enter the trades, is it their basic academic skills, the interpersonal skills, which you were just touching on, or the technical skills, or all three that are kind of lacking in terms of what an employer would be looking for?
This is Bob. It could be any of the above or all of the above, and it depends on the opening. Different openings have obviously different key skill sets that we're looking for or an employer is looking for. The thing that's always the common foundation are those core skills. Do they have good communication skills? Do they have the math, reading, and writing skills? Can they operate as a good team player? Will they work well with others? Will they have a positive attitude in the workplace? Those things that we all grew up and were taught by our parents and that we assume everybody has. Everybody doesn't have those. And so there's a whole bunch of great programs out there right now that are really trying to shore that up and fill that need and fill that gap, because without those core skills, your technical skills won't overcome the fact that you don't have the core skills. So I think that's an absolutely imperative foundation that we work on.
This is Laurel again. Eric and I were just talking about how all high schools should have an employment skills class. You know, and many of them don't. I have, just for my small group of kids, we teach them how to interview and how to retain their jobs and how to write cover letters and even how to write a resignation letter and how to build their skills and how to get along with people. And South Lane School District is unique because we have like an all-girls engineering tech program where girls learn how to weld and program robots and pneumatics and hydraulics and just amazing things. And we have Eric's health occupations program. We've got Woodchop. We have a lot of great training ground. And then the next step is that now we're getting involved with the pre-apprenticeships where they're asking us to bring our kids. I've got 9 kids set up right now to go into carpentry, plumbing, and electrician trades a couple afternoons a week. And that's more of what we need, too, is people reaching out to us, because we know that, you know, a lot of people have 1 foot out the door. You need our young people, and our young people need you to provide jobs for them. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Ruth Daimler. The word climate change, I haven't heard it mentioned all morning, and it's something I've been hearing almost every day. But it's going to make a shift in some of our jobs. Mm-hmm. And right now, our country is experiencing drought in many areas. So our farmland here is going to be producing a lot of the food for the rest of the country. And we talked at our table, are we prepared? Do we have canning set up for our produce? Do we have the ways to freeze and to take care of the food to shift it across the country, or to shift it to even California? Because they usually produce most of the farm produce in our country, and this year I don't think it's going to happen. So do you have ideas, and have you been preparing for the shift?
That's an excellent question. This is Eric Culliter again from South Lane School District. I think the specific topic of global climate change is one of many topics that face us and that we need to be increasingly aware of. And I think what we need to do is we need to take a look at the problems that are approaching us, and we need to take a look at how we're introducing these issues to our youth and how we're training our youth to take on these challenges that we're going to pass on to them. I totally agree with that. And I think what we really need to do is to be constantly reinventing education, basically, that the old standard ways of doing things, which have worked for a long time, may not work so well in an economy and a climate that is rapidly changing. So I think it calls upon us all to be on our toes, constantly reevaluating how well are we doing our jobs, and how can we be doing our jobs better to meet the needs that we all know are coming our way, and to some extent are here, whether we want to look at them or not.
This is Kim Thompson. I was just thinking as you were saying that sounds like a great topic for the next round. We mm-hmm. better go visit an employer in cold storage. And actually, I know that Snowtemp has been expanding like crazy over the last few years. I think even just the last year. So I wouldn't be surprised if some of that has to do with that topic. But we haven't started studying agriculture like we should, and I bet you it's going to be on the, if this continues, this will be on next year's agenda. I just don't think we keep up with that stuff as quickly as it changes, unfortunately, data-wise, but by this time next year, if it does continue, I bet I will have stuff on that.
Hi, I'm Joel Corin, and I'm a City Club member for 2 years. According to your chart, 11,000 workers are needed in healthcare over the next between 2010-2020. I have a two-part question. One, what percentage of those are high school grads? What percentage are two-year college grads or two-year program grads? And what percentage are four-year grads? And the second part of the question is, we're now just about a third into that 10-year period. How are we doing? Have we filled almost one-third of those jobs, or are we falling behind?
Boy, I do not have that information in my head. But I can tell you, when you look at an industry, then you break it into different occupations. This is Kim Thompson from the Employment Department. And so we look at all the occupations and try to figure out where those openings are. And I can tell you a large portion of them are in registered nurses. And what I'm hearing from the employers is that they're hiring four-year degrees right now, predominantly. Whether that's needed or not, I don't know. That's what they're doing. We definitely produce a significant amount of registered nurses out of a two-year program at LCC as well. I can tell you that's the highest. When we look at demand of positions, registered nurses always falls at the top, and it continues to. I don't know in terms of where we've come in this 10-year cycle. I don't know where we are. I know that the projections for 10 years are updated every 2 years. So we are just about ready to produce the next, I would say by mid-February, we'll have new 10-year projections because things change. And when we put these out, we didn't know anything about the healthcare system upgrade. Some positions have changed. There's a new position called community health workers that's just come out that we're going to need to be tracking. It's a brand new position for healthcare industry. So registered nurses, let me think what else is on that high demand list. Home healthcare workers. And high demand means they have more than the average openings across the industry. I think there's some...
respiratory therapists,
yeah.
Radiology technicians,
yeah,
ultrasound.
He paid good attention in my presentation.
So to answer your question, you can easily go to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which is the National Federal Register, and look at career growth. And if you take a look at the top 20 projected major numbers of people needed to be trained, typically about 10 of those are healthcare. And that's true. That's reflected here. And it ranges everything from home health care aides, which is high demand but relatively low wage, up to sophisticated medical specialist with the whole spectrum of salary ranges in there. There's lots of jobs. One thing that I tell my students is that one of the things I love about teaching about healthcare careers is that I started as an orderly, and that's not what I ended up. So there's tremendous potential for vertical growth in terms of training, salary, so forth and so on, horizontal growth in that particular profession. And their timing is perfect. We're not even close to providing what we need. The hospital industry is hit by the recession just as hard or harder than everybody else. So right now they're not really talking about hiring, but we just sort of like knowing that there's been a big earthquake in Japan. It's coming. Yeah.
Okay, I want to say one more thing. I would rather you go to my website than the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, because ours is an Oregon local website, and the Bureau of Labor is the whole United States.
And what is that website again?
This is Kim from the Employment Department, by the way, and that's Eric from the school district. I would like you to go to qualityinfo.org. Much easier. Qualityinfo.org. It's all Oregon, and you can click on the map for Lane County. You can click on the county of Lane and get all of the data for our area.
I go there all the time. I had all those slides memorized.
And I just want to add that Lane Workforce Partnership and the Oregon Employment Department collaborate every 2 years and produce the State of the Workforce Report. And this year, there will be an updated version. It's about a 60-page document with all the interesting economic and industry data that you would ever want to see. And I'm sure we'll get a press release out about that and make sure the City Club's informed when our next edition comes out.
LaneWorkforce.org is where the current one is.
It's a great report, actually, and it's, you know, you can read it even if you're not a data geek. So my question is about another way that education and employment regularly fail to link. And Oregon, I know from a long history in education, has had many wonderful reform ideas over the years. It has been a leader among the states in thinking about cool ways to package critical thinking and literacy and numeracy. I'm wondering what it would take to get employers to ask questions in interviews like, well, what were your OAKS scores like, or whatever cockamamie test they're using this year? Or how was your attendance? Talk to me about your attendance. And, well, questions like, gosh, it must have been hard some days to get to school that often. How did you solve that problem? What would it take to get employers to ask, to get students to begin to think about these skills as skills that they could use and brag about later on? Because it seems like there's a complete disconnect. You got your diploma, you're done. Nobody ever looks back into the, and I'm not saying, you know, so lots of kids are going to do better at work than they did at school, but how can we work better together to convey to them that what you have done is often going to be what you will do, and that we can change habits?
This is Bob. That's a great question. I don't have a ready answer for that question. What I would suggest again is that the more we can connect business to the education system, the more likely business will be to understand the value in asking those kinds of questions, that there's value not only for the employer who's looking and interviewing, but for the educators as well, because those are some of the values that they've been telling the students all through their high school career are important. And so the more we connect with each other, the more we will be more likely to understand each other's goals, each other's challenges, and where they align and where they separate, and where they separate, why are they separated, and should they be separated, maybe, maybe not. But these types of programs like this class are a classic way, and I think going to be a really effective way for business to better understand what our educators are going through, what their challenges are, what they're telling their students, and then so that business can learn as well as the educators can learn what kind of jobs are out there. Businesses can learn, just Mary, just what you were speaking to, that if a student is proud because they've had a perfect attendance record through 4 years, wouldn't it be great if an employer asked about that? The answer is, of course it would be. So hopefully this will be a small step that direction.
And I concur totally. Take yourselves back to high school and the talking head up front talking, how much do you remember? But if you have a business owner come into the school and talk about their business and what their needs are, that's the same message, and it comes across radically differently. And even better if you get a young employee that's closer to the student's age to come in and validate the same things that the old talking heads up front have been saying, blah, 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 then they really listen. So the partnership of having industry connect with education and send that consistent message would be incredibly powerful.
One last thing on that. This is Kim Thompson from the Employment Department. I work in research, but the Employment Department is very large, and we do a lot with businesses. We have the largest job seeker database in that exists, and it's kind of a new concept. It's not the Employment Department from the past, but for, I would say, at least 15 years, we've been working really hard to get the employers that list their jobs with us to understand how to interview. And, you know, we've switched to behavioral questions, and we really push behavioral questions, not just why do you want this job kind of question, and focus on tell me about a time when you did this, or, you know, and we coach job seekers on how to transfer their skills into different situations. And I know part of my job is to make sure businesses understand what's going on in the world of work and help them find employees. So of course, I'm always touting the part of our website that has an HR link and helping them understand how to get some better questions, how to write a better position description so that people understand what they're applying for. So I would say what you could do right now is use the employment department, because we have been working on this for about 15 years.
Thank you for bringing clarity and vision to the City Club program, building bridges between business and education. And thanks again to our sponsors, Oregon Community Fair, Dot Dotson's, Essex General Construction. We meet again Friday, January 31st at the Downtown Athletic Club to hear about the role of transit in our community's vision.